Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Force number one, the power. Force number two, the wisdom. And force number three, understanding. Now, we as charismatics, spirit-filled, the last two, we kind of think they are not applicable in our lives. But for some reason, God decided to use them when he was creating. So I figured out, even though in the charismatic Pentecostal movements, those two are not very welcome, but God used them. That means they are necessary.
Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
Some years ago, I noticed from our metrics, our statistics, that our program was being downloaded in Ukraine. And I really didn't know about the ministries and all that was going on in the Ukraine. I was always amazed. I found out today that a pastor by the name of Henry Madava began preaching the gospel in the Ukraine in the 90s. Now, he was recently speaking at a Global Awakening Voice of the Apostles in 2025. His message today is, how did God start this whole thing? What did he do? Well, he used more than just his power. Here he is, Pastor Henry Madava.
The title of my message is Building as God Builds. That's building according to his pattern. I always give titles to my messages because sometimes people sleep right afterwards. You mention the title, then they have no idea what you spoke about. I was preaching in Germany. A lady fell asleep when I came on the platform. I tried to wake her up through my preaching, but she didn't wake up. And she was sleeping very loudly. And anyway, I began to preach, and then I prayed. And then I said, anybody healed? She woke up. She said, yes, I'm healed. I said, lady, you were asleep. She said, I had this lump. It disappeared while I was asleep. I'm sorry, but it's gone. But that's not a recipe to receive your healing. No, it's not. That's not the recipe. Yeah. Building as God builds, according to his pattern. Like Dr. Randy mentioned, I never went to a seminary. So I was in the aeronautical university. That was my training. So when the Lord called me to be a pastor, I didn't have any seminary education of any kind. So when we started the Victory Church, that was in 1993 at the beginning of the year, the church was 200 people, and I felt very happy. And then in 6 months, we added minus 170 people. So, yeah, that's the language of the engineer. So we added minus 170 people. And in 6 months, we had 30 people. And I was in a crisis. I had no idea what to do. So I wanted the Lord to give me permission to leave Ukraine. I told him, I am the wrong guy for Ukraine. Please send me to another place. I realized God loves ignoring stupid prayers that we do. I actually fasted and prayed, but he never answered what I was asking him to. And then after fasting for a few days in 1993, he answered me. He said, Henry, do these three things. He said, number one, pray for the sick. He said, number two, simplify. Take the difficult things, make them simple so everybody can understand. He said, number three, teach the Bible topic by topic. That was in 1993. So I came to the Victory Church. I said, we are going to have a healing meeting. Invite your friends who are sick. So the Victory Church was very disobedient. They did not invite the sick. They invited the dying. There is a very big difference between those two groups. Very big. In fact, in our first healing service, a lady died on the balcony. And that was in 93, just after the Soviet Union collapsed. And the communists had this propaganda thing that churches sacrifice people. So this lady died in our service, and I know what the newspapers are going to write. Pastor Henry and the Victory Church sacrificed a lady. So I was in a crisis. I used to think that, so I get a note from the ushers, a lady just died on the balcony, what do you want us to do? So I used to think pastors know everything. And then I realized, no, pastors don't know everything. I had no idea what to do. So for 25 minutes I preaching, I have no idea what I preached about because I was trying to find a way out. And then 25 minutes later, they sent me another note. They say, Pastor, you kept preaching. And then we tried and prayed for this lady, and we want to inform you she has been raised from the dead. She's alive. And that was resurrection number one in our church. We have had almost 10 of them, but that's the good news. The bad news is I never took part in any one of them. It's always somebody else doing it. So right then, I realized the best way to build a ministry was to get the patterns that God has. Since I didn't have seminary education, I went into the Bible to look for the patterns and the principles that God was using so I could duplicate the principles. And one of the scriptures that helped me was Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. The Bible says, see that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. I began to suspect that everything God does, they are patterns and principles. And if I can get them and use them, I can be successful in the things of the kingdom of God. So I began to look. So when I was looking into it, you see, in building a church, it could be a business, whatever it is. Once you get the pattern, once you get the principles, you can do it effectively. So I was reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I was thinking, that's the first thing that God did. And I want to find out, how did he do that? How? So when I began to read the Bible, then I found this scripture. There are a number of them that show how, as an engineer, I always want to know, how do you do it? I found out, if I cannot answer the people's questions of why do I believe, how do I believe, and how do I measure the results? I always want to know how and why am I doing it, and how do I measure the results to make sure I'm doing the right thing. So I found, I was reading Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 15. I realized that I found how actually God created the heavens and the earth. I found it. And when I found it, I began to copy this pattern. Let me read it to you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. In other words, there were three forces that God used when he created the heavens and earth. Now, as a Christian, I used to think it was just the power of God. He used his power and that was it. But then I realized that's what they told me. But when I began to read the Bible, I realized he used more than the power. And I realized if I wanted to build a ministry, I will need to use these three forces together. Force number one, the power. Force number two, the wisdom. And force number three, understanding. Now, we as charismatics, spirit-filled, the last two, we kind of think they are not applicable in our lives. But for some reason, God decided to use them when he was creating. So I figured out, even though in the charismatic Pentecostal movements, those two are not very welcome, but God used them. That means they are necessary. And when I began to work with pastors, because we have many churches that we have planted, I realized some pastors were full of power, no wisdom, no understanding, no success. Some pastors were full of understanding and wisdom, no power. And many pastors thought if you have the power, you cannot have wisdom and understanding at the same time. For some reason, they decided those three are not compatible, not realizing those three are very compatible because God actually used them to create the heavens and the earth. And there are many other scriptures that actually when you begin to look, you see those three coming out at the same time. So I want to look at every one of them, but for the sake of time, wisdom and understanding, I'll put them in one group. And then the power in one group. So the first thing I see here, for effectiveness in building a ministry or building whatever you need to build, you need the power of God, which I give the definition, the ability of God to produce results. The ability to produce results. And it's not just healings, because sometimes we believe the power of God just in healing. Building a ministry, you need the power of God to help you to produce results. I've been to many countries. I've been to Thailand. When I went to Thailand, the last evangelist that I knew went to Thailand was Dr. T.L. Osborne. And so I went to meet Dr. T.L. Osborne. We spoke and he prayed for me. He blessed me because nobody was going to Thailand. So I never knew what Thai people looked like. But when I went to Thailand, the Lord opened doors for me in Thailand. And I've been working in Thailand for many years. Now we have a GEA with Jean-Luc Traxel and Nathan Morris, who are the co-chairs of the GEA, and Dr. Rola, I hope I said it correctly, they are part of the GEA. And so I'm involved in that. I'm doing three of the crusades of that is being done in Thailand because I've been there for many years. But when I came to Thailand, I needed God to stand with me, not just with his presence, but with his power to help me. And that's how we can be effective. The power of God. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, I'm going to try to convince you that the power inside of you is so powerful that it's more powerful than anything you can ever imagine in this world. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, God, because he knows Pastor Henry is an engineer, he has to bring the engineering language as well. So he said, this power is the same mighty strength that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, God was looking. He was thinking, what do I give my church? What power do I give? What ability do I give? How will they face the devil? How will they build the kingdom? I'm sure he was testing some of his powers. Then finally he decided, no, I'll give them my working power. The same power that I used. Some of the translations say he worked it. I will give them the same power that I used, that I worked with when I raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, he gave us his working power, the same power that he used when he raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And he set him far above. Now, when he says the same power, we need to know what was the resistance. So maybe there wasn't much resistance. So he just raised Jesus from the dead. There was nothing fighting, stopping Jesus from being raised from the dead. Then that power will be very small, maybe. So I was looking in the Bible, and I found in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 24, here is what the Bible says. So, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony, or one of the translations saying from the pangs of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So, how to paint pictures using words. And that's what I'm trying to do here. So what happened was, Jesus died, and the Bible says death was holding him. I can imagine all the demons, the devils, that were all working together, helping death to hold him. All the diseases, everything you can think of, they were holding Jesus. Day number one, they are holding. Day number two, they are holding. And day number three, the Father said, it's time. And he sent that power. And when that power came in, all the devils, all the sicknesses and diseases, everything that was holding Jesus, the Bible doesn't say they didn't want to hold him. No, they wanted to hold him, but they could not. It was impossible. And that's the power that's in you. That's the power. That's why when cancer sees you, cancer tries to run away until it realizes you don't know what you have. That's why when sickness and disease see you, they are scared. That power destroyed them on the day when Jesus rose from the dead. Can you say amen? That's the power. In fact, when I was looking more into the Bible, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, that Jesus, the day he died, when he died, the Bible says he cried out with a loud voice, and he yielded up this Holy the Spirit. At that moment, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, the rocks were split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised after Jesus' resurrection. Why did the veil split? Because the presence of God was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died, the veil split and that presence came out. Now, I know most of the people think it came out very peacefully. No. Number one, there was an earthquake. That power was so much that the surrounding areas began to shake from the power coming out of the temple. Number two, there were rocks in the area. They split from the power. And there were tombs in the area. Not tombs in Lancaster, but in the area. They actually split open. The power was so much coming out of the temple, it affected the whole area. Now here's the big issue, the big question. Where did the power go? It was looking for a new temple. The power went to a new temple. And then we found in the Bible, you are the temple. You are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit because he lives in you. Now that power that split the rocks, quaked the earth, opened the graves, it lives in you. When I began to get that revelation, I became afraid of the power in me. I mean, so much power. I felt ashamed that I was limiting the power of God that lives in me. It's in you. It's so powerful that everything around the temple that day responded to the power. And that's the power that God gave us. To be effective, we need the power. And we have it. It's in you. You have that power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow it to flow. Allow it to move. Now, I accidentally somehow got acquainted with the power of God. Before I met Dr. Randy Clark, many years ago, I used to be a mathematics teacher. I love mathematics. Anything that has to do with mathematics, physics, mechanics, I love it. And many people don't, and I'm surprised. So in Zimbabwe, I was a mathematics teacher. So they asked me, they say, Mr. Madaba, there is a group of young kids, they believe in Jesus, they called it the Scripture Union. Can you lead the Scripture Union with these kids? I said, of course I will. So the mathematics teacher is leading the Scripture Union. So I didn't know how to preach, so I would invite young people from different churches to preach to the kids. And then one day I invited a very powerful, anointed young man, but he never showed up. I was angry, but I had to forgive him very quickly because I had to preach my message number one. So I was preaching to the kids. I preached for 5 very long minutes. I preached from Genesis to Revelation, came back to Genesis. In 5 minutes, there was nothing else in the Bible to talk about. So if your first message was more than 5 minutes, you're much better than I did. So I said, what do I do now? So I said, let's pray. And this is my first message. I'm a mathematics teacher. That is in 1985. So I tell the kids, let's pray. So I close my eyes. And then when I'm praying, I hear this noise. Boom, 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 boom. 5 thuds. And I'm thinking, what's that? For some reason, I opened one eye to check what was happening. That's 1985. And I see 5 kids lying on the floor. being anointed is sometimes very dangerous. I was preaching in Sweden in a Lutheran church, and I began to pray, and five deacons fell under the power in a Lutheran church, and I had no idea what to do with them after that. So anyway, I see these kids, and I'd never seen this in any church. So I get to one of them. I say, "Are you okay?" There was no Toronto then. There was nothing. 1985. So I said, "Are you okay?" And the kid, she was a little girl, she answers me with a male voice. So I asked one of the boys, "What is that?" They say, "Mr. Madaba, that's a demon." I say, you mean a real demon? He says, yeah. So you need to cast it out. I had never seen it. So when demons manifest in your church, don't hide the people. Let everybody see how you deliver people. They need something to benchmark with later when things begin to happen. I could not benchmark with anything. I never saw it in any church, anywhere. So I lay hands on this girl, and she says, "I'm not leaving." And eventually the demon left. Now I was a little bit, and then I get to this tall boy, and one of the boys said, "Don't cast that demon out. That's my first meeting." I said, "Why should I not cast the demon out?" They said, "He's a prophet." I said, "What?" They said, "He's a prophet." I said, "What do you mean he's a prophet?" He said, "In their church, he stands at the door as the prophet and to detect who sinned, who did not sin during the week. So if you cast that thing out, the apostles will come for you." And that's my service number one. The very first one. And I have this girl, and then I have a prophet. And the apostles will come and kill me if I cast the demon out of the prophet. So I'm saying, wow. I said, "But if he's a prophet, why is the demon manifesting through him?" So maybe he's a false prophet. They said, "We don't care, but if you cast it, the apostles will kill you." So I said, "Lord Jesus, what do I do?" Anyway, I said, "Let's try it." You know, I had that revolutionary approach to life. And a demon, many of them came out of the prophet. And so I'm standing there. I didn't know what to feel because they told me, the apostles will come and kill me. It's so good to be in the voice of the apostles. The ones that are here, they don't kill anybody. They are good apostles. These are very good apostles. Amen. So there was that small group. It grew. It became 200. It became 1,000. And then we had six schools coming together. So they gave me a stadium. And I'm still a school teacher in 1985. Six schools coming together. Now it became like a big church. So we went to rent a church building. It said about 4,000, fully packed with school kids. And every time I'm tired of older people, I look for school kids. I love preaching to kids. And then with that, I went to the Soviet Union. They had no idea who just came into their country. They had no idea. I had all that with me. And then that's when I realized the power of God is real. The power of God actually works. The power of God actually works miracles. And that was in 1985. And in 1986, I come to the Soviet Union. And I'm ready.
If you are interested in purchasing the complete Global Awakening VOA, please log on to Global Awakening Books and Media at globalawakening.com.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.
Thank you.